All right, it's 9:38 on this Wednesday morning. It's often been stated that we spend more in this country on prisons than we do on education. We know that prison overcrowding is a problem, but it's one that we have not been able to solve yet. Our next guest says that it's because of mass incarceration in America. He says that he was wrongfully imprisoned for 7 years, and it happens to a lot of other people as well. This situation escalated to the point where, fearing for his own safety, he ended up fleeing the country, and calls into us this morning from his new home in Poland. Howell Woltz is on the line with us right now. Howell, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing well, thanks. Your story is an amazing one, so let's start it from the beginning.
Well, I really focus these days on what we need to do about the problem, but just briefly, I was caught up in a political vendetta between two very well-known politicians in North Carolina. Both of them had been judges, one still is. One had been a U.S. attorney and worked in Congress and had tried to keep the other judge from being confirmed years ago back in the 1980s. So this is, you know, in North Carolina, politics is still a blood sport. So I got caught in the middle of that and was never convicted of any crime by any court of jurisdiction, yet they held me for 7 years. But that is what gave me this window onto a world that I had never known or seen. And I took it on as, you know, as my mission to try to do something about it. But unfortunately, whistleblowing and truth-telling in America are not tolerated very well anymore. So I was getting threats from U.S. Marshals and people saying the judges are tired of your talking about all this and you better shut up or we'll go after you again or your family. So I can be a more effective voice out of America. But my new book on how we can fix this system is coming out next week on the 25th. It's already available on Amazon and pre-order from stores. But that's the best I can do now is say, how do we fix it?
How do we fix it? As we've been, and I'm sure you've been observing the presidential campaign here in this country, and unfortunately we talk very little these days about actual issues. It's more about the character of each candidate. But do you hear either of these candidates talking about this issue?
It's unfortunately lip service. In the background, you have everybody from the Koch brothers on the right to George Soros on the left talking about the real issues. But, you know, other than talking about the color of hairs and skins and records, it's ridiculous. I'm embarrassed to admit where I'm from sometimes right now. But I don't think there's anything substantive. The Clintons are the ones that passed the omnibus crime bill back in 94 that ramped up the imprisonment industry. And Trump is talking about getting tough on crime, which in history is usually meant let's, you know, put some more people of color back on the plantation. And I'm not in favor of either one of these candidates in this regard, unfortunately.
How does somebody who was not convicted spend 7 years incarcerated as you did? How did that happen?
Well, illegally, to answer your question, but it is not infrequent. And during that time, I worked on over 400 criminal cases of others, got several people freed, and got sentences reduced, I don't know, thousands of days of sentence reductions. And it's not uncommon. I worked on cases, for example, in the Atlanta Fulton County Jail, they were holding people five and more years. Well, the Sixth Amendment guarantees you a speedy and public trial, and that has been determined by legislation to be 70 days. I've never seen government at state or federal level follow that law, not once. They hold people for years and years until the prosecutor can coerce a plea of guilt rather than going to trial. And also, you can't hold a prisoner legally more than 90 days. The judge has to set the terms of bail. No matter what you did, I've never seen that law followed once either. They just hold people basically until they give up and plead guilty to get away from these dangerous, overcrowded, dirty, disease-ridden county jails. In my case, they just kept moving me. I was moved 29 times between jails and prisons. prisons all over America to prevent lawyers, my family, anyone who could help me from finding me. And then a judge from another district who was behind the vendetta, the one I mentioned earlier, he actually said, just hold him in federal prison until I say let him go. And that's what happened.
So how do we fix this problem?
The big fix to all of our problems harkens back to Citizens United versus FEC in 2010 and beyond. That whole thing started back in 1886, long story. But quickly, we've got to get the money out of this game, because when the prison industry can basically pay our legislators at state and federal level to make all this myriad of crazy laws, and you know, just to keep the prisons full, they pass these mandatory sentencing regimes that are outrageous. They target races. As an example, you take pure cocaine, which is used by the country club set, and let's say, for example, you get a year. But if the guy in the black neighborhood buys the pure cocaine from the white guy, steps on it with baking soda three or four times and turns it into a rock that's mostly baking soda, he gets 100 years. Now, that's been since reduced to 20, but it's still this disparity in laws, and they target groups that they want to imprison and take their rights from them, and it's very wrong. But we got to get back to where, if Paul Miller lives in his district, then nobody but Paul Miller and those other people that live in his district in the jurisdiction of an election or could register to vote, they have that legal right. You're the only people that should have the right to donate to politicians, warm-blooded human beings, not corporations, not unions, not PACs, not even political parties. No one should have the right to buy our elected officials. And I think that's the real root problem. The rest of it is window dressing. And that's what I work on in my speeches and writings these days, is let's get back to what the law used to be. And let's quit imagining words like corporation being in our contract with government, the Constitution. It's not, the word doesn't appear a single time. So, you know, let's get back to basics and get the money out of it. And quickly, these politicians will start focusing on Main Street rather than K Street. It's an easy fix.
So before we can even fix the justice system, we have to fix the political system in this country then.
I would say so, because right now everything and everybody in government is for sale. That's a sad fact.
Clearly. The book is called Justice Restored, comes out next week, 10 Steps to End Mass Incarceration in America, by Howell Woltz, who's calling us from Warsaw, Poland this morning, where he now makes his home. Do you have a website or anywhere where people can follow you?
Yes, we just set up justicerestored.net. I also have a homepage, Howell Woltz, that's HOWELLWOLTZ.com. I've written a few other books on this issue, and one spiritual book, and there's also a film that was done on my first book, Justice Denied, about my story, and a TED Talk, and you know, the different things we're trying to do to get this message out. But we have a crisis unmatched in human history. If I can briefly give you the numbers, I don't want to bore your listeners, but no dictator or tyrant in the history of the world has ever incarcerated more of its citizens or more of his or her citizens than the United States of America does today.
It's a startling fact, isn't it?
It is a startling fact, and the thing, the facts are, that came out or were disclosed, which prompted me to write Justice Restored, was when I read that the FBI and the Department of Justice had been caught so many times, they finally had an external auditor determine that in 20 years, almost, I'll read the quote, the Justice Department and FBI have formally acknowledged that nearly every examiner in an elite FBI forensic unit gave flawed testimony in almost all trials in which they offered evidence to get criminal defendants over a two-decade period. So for 20 years, they lied in almost every case. And then I started researching the error rate, and that has now been compiled for 23 years of death penalty cases. You know, where they're planning to kill someone, you would think they would be a little cautious. That's not the case, Paul. The record is clear now. The report examined 5,760 capital cases at federal and state level, and found an error rate. Would you like to venture a guess?
I can't even imagine.
73% reversible error rate, and 9% were actually innocent when they were arrested. So, you know, our courts and prosecutors get it wrong either through ineptitude or insensitivity or just not giving a damn 8 out of 10 times. And in some states, the study showed that, for example, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Maryland, in all the cases reviewed in those states over 23 years, they had a 100% error rate.
Wow.
All right, I took the numbers from the federal government that I've only seen them one time, one place. They admitted in 2010 that they've already given 71 million of us American citizens a criminal record. If you juxtapose that with this error rate and innocence rate in capital cases where they're going to execute the person, and I'm making the assumption that they aren't more careful in cases where they're just going to give you 6 months in jail than they are when they're putting you to death. And I think that's a reasonable assumption. And from experience, I can tell you they are extraordinarily careless in those cases. That means that 52 million Americans have been wrongfully executed or imprisoned since I was in college in 1973. And 6.4 million of them were completely innocent when they were arrested. So this is holocaustic. I don't want to borrow the term too heavily and offend anyone, but never before in human history have so many people been wrongfully imprisoned or executed. These numbers are beyond any pale. So that when I started doing the math on that, I said, my God, so we've got to do something. So I took those years of experience working on all those cases, some capital, mostly non-capital, and said, you know, here are 10 things we can do one after another and eliminate this problem, get back to rule of law, make our courts start being responsible, and allow those prosecutors and judges who knowingly do these terrible things to pay a penalty. Right now they're immune, and since their immunity came into effect in 1967, beginning with a string of horrible decisions they basically granted themselves judicially, then that's when it started falling apart. And then in 1996, they passed the Anti-Terrorism and Effective Death Penalty Act, which basically eliminated our constitutional right of habeas corpus to challenge these errors. So they've been running free and loose now for 20 years, and we now see the results, and they are horrifying.
Yeah, startling, absolutely. Really, really interesting stuff. The book, again, out next week, Justice Restored, 10 Steps to End Mass Incarceration in America by Howell Waltz. Howell, thanks for your time. We appreciate it very much. Be well.
Great, and congratulations on your sports teams there. My God, I read the other day that 35 undefeated high school football teams.
Yeah.
Is that even possible? That's amazing.
You bet. Thanks a lot. All right, take care. Bye now.